This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The collapse of Detroit, the appointment by Governor Snyder of emergency manager Kevin Orr, the litany of problems that face Detroit, which include annual cash shortages, complaints by residents that services are not being delivered, police don't respond to calls, all of this has drawn the attention of the world. But surely Detroit is not the first major American city to have to fight its way back from tremendous setbacks and challenges. Case in point, some 30 years ago, back in the early 1980s, Atlanta had the dubious distinction of being the murder capital of America, a troubled city. And that was the time when Andrew Young was running for mayor of Atlanta. Mr. Young, of course, had been a close friend of Dr. Martin Luther King, a leader in the civil rights movement. He'd served in the U.S. Congress, then served as the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. And then at the urging of Coretta Scott King, among others, Andrew Young ran for mayor of Atlanta in 1981. And during his two terms, the city saw a true rebirth. Andrew Young recently spoke in Detroit, part of the Michigan Black Chamber of Commerce's celebration of Black History Month. Ambassador Young explored the ways Detroit could learn from Atlanta. And Ambassador Andrew Young joins us now from Atlanta. Welcome to Stateside, sir.
Well, thank you, and it's good to be talking with you.
Well, with your sense of history, which is so important and something that is often forgotten, the sense of history and perspective as news stories unfold, I'm wondering, what have your thoughts been as you've watched Detroit erode to the point now where it's under state emergency management?
Well, you know, Michael Burke with the Obama campaign was in Atlanta. And he raised the question, why didn't Detroit do what Atlanta did? And I said that it was really a different history. And it turned out that our bad history ended up being a blessing.
How so?
In the sense that in the 40s and 50s, the mayor bought a huge plot of land for $95,000 to build an airport. He invited Delta to come in, and he gave them all the land they needed for $1 a year for 50 years. And he put up red lights on Peachtree Street, and he got voted out of office. That was too progressive. And Mr. Woodruff of Coca-Cola and others in the business community realized that Atlanta had to grow, and they decided that there just were not enough progressive white people in town to move the city forward. So they went out to Morehouse and Spelman, and they created a coalition between the business community and the black academic community, which then was expanded to include the preachers. And the labor unions back then in the South were segregated.
Mm-hmm.
So they were part of the opposition to change at that time. In Detroit, labor was the progressive part of the coalition. But I think that while we were forced to be in partnership with the business community, and everything we did pretty much together. We built our airport, and it didn't cost us anything. We put together a tax-exempt municipal bond issue, and we sold $300 million worth of bonds, and we built the first major expansion in our airport. While I was mayor, we probably issued another close to $1 billion worth of tax-exempt bonds. Now, we've never had to pay for them, and nothing we did cost the taxpayers any money because we used we use creative capitalism.
Hmm.
It's what I call public purpose capitalism. Anytime I knew there was no money, and I knew there was no money in Washington by the time I got to be mayor, but I also knew that there was surplus capital all over the world that was looking for a place to invest that was safe, that was honest, and that was efficient. And I started going around the world telling people, if you're going to be in business, you've got to be in the American market, and the best place to operate from is Atlanta.
So Detroit could do the same thing.
Detroit could do the same thing. And actually, you have a bigger market within 500 miles of Detroit, and you've got Canada.
I'm speaking with Ambassador Andrew Young, who these days is the chairman of the Andrew J. Young Foundation. He recently spoke in Detroit about his experiences as the mayor of Atlanta, offering thoughts about what Detroit could learn from Atlanta's turnaround. So you're saying thinking globally while acting locally is what the key
is. Exactly. In fact, that's our problem in our nation. All politics is local, but all economics is global. And actually, I knew that there was no money locally. There was no way I could pass a bond issue hardly in the beginning. But I could convince petrodollars in Holland that they were not, at least the Swiss banks were charging people interest to keep their money. And I said, you don't have to pay interest for your money. You can invest it in Atlanta. And if you invest it in Atlanta, we will assure you that it's safe, that it's honest, and that it's efficient. We bought 1,100 businesses in here in 8 years. Now, that was in the Reagan years when there was not much money available from the government, and we never got anything from the state government. But so Atlanta plugged into becoming a part of the global economy. We bypassed Washington. We bypassed the state government. Well, I don't know. We have to reimagine Detroit. But your sports teams do well. The automobile industry is coming back, but you got to get the business community involved in the city of Detroit.
So you had to create and then sell to people around the world a new image of Atlanta.
Well, we did, and so we first of all had to change our image, and we did that with little motor scooters. And when I was in Congress, We learned that you have to have a police presence, and they can't be in automobiles. So we put police on these little motor scooters on the sidewalk going around downtown, and it gave people a sense of comfort. So we decided that we were going to, we plotted our crime. We had a... One of my policemen in my office was working on a master's degree in criminology at Georgia State. So I suggested to him and let him do it on my time he'd make a computerized map of all the crimes over the last 3-4 years. And then based on where the crimes were occurring, we decide how we were going to keep them from occurring there in the future. So we went real technocrat on crime prevention. And one of the things that I think helped us was that we had a woman who was a deputy chief of police who was, very sensitive to the community. Everybody liked her. And we had 2 black PhDs running our police force. So it was a rather cerebral, intellectual approach to crime, but it worked.
And could because, that be applied, sir, to the situation in Detroit where resources and money is virtually not there?
Well, see, we hadn't spent any money. That didn't take any money. That just took thought and brains and dedicating the resources that we had and dedicating them more precisely. And so when we knew where all the crimes were coming, we then, under Chief Lee Brown, started what we call community policing, so that the police would have meetings with the community. After we identified these high crime communities, the police zone went out and we had a series of community meetings where the community people told us how they wanted their community protected and where they cooperated and where we organized Neighborhood Watch. And we got the community involved in crime. We also got the schools, and we had the police athletic league at the playgrounds, and we got the business community to give us some, they were basketball shelters. They were nothing but a slab of concrete with a roof on it, and but it had lights. And so kids could play basketball. We had a midnight basketball league, we called it. But it was run under the auspices of the Police Athletic League. So we got the police and the community involved in recreation and other things. And I was really surprised at the response.
And finally, sir, when I was looking at the website for your Andrew J. Young Foundation, I saw a phrase that struck me, and that was the phrase, effective servant leadership. Knowing that Detroiters are going to vote for a mayor and city council members this November, what's the challenge that you would issue to whomever wins those races, to Detroit's leaders?
The first thing we have to do is decide who you're going to vote for. And I would say that of all the cities in the world, Detroit, with the automobile industry, with the educational system in Michigan, with the infrastructure that you have there in terms of rails and roads and things, that there are not many better places in the world to do business if you create a favorable business climate. You know, you've got to develop a reputation, and it's simple. I used to let everybody, I said, look, you don't have to have an appointment to see the mayor if you're an investor. Just come anytime it's convenient to you. If I'm there, I'll stop what I'm doing, and it doesn't take but 10 minutes. And I can stop almost any meeting for 10 minutes for somebody who wants to move a factory into town. And let me go back to say that the first thing that has to turn around is your own attitude towards yourself. And mm-hmm. Detroit, as long as I can remember, has been beaten up on itself. I have a lot of friends in Detroit. And actually, we've lured a lot of Detroit's talents down here. And with Michigan State, with Wayne State, with churches that you have in Detroit, I think that it's a matter of massive community organization, but it has to start with organizing the finances. And I think that's what you have to create a sense of confidence and accountability. Detroit isn't going anywhere. It really is a nice city.
Andrew Young, former ambassador, former congressman, former mayor of Atlanta, and today he's the chairman of the Andrew J. Young Foundation.